April 12th, 2017. We are back, baby. Barstool Drive Time is in action. I'm Smitty, joined alongside Barstool Riggs, Barstool Trent. We got Robbie in the booth, along with Salty Pete today, who almost got in a Twitter war with Caravel?
Caravel Ice Cream.
Caravel Ice Cream.
Yeah, Caravel
Ice Cream. We'll get to that probably in a little bit.
Big Twitter war day. But after a little time off, we're back on the airwaves. Call us in with whatever you want. 646-627-8450. Again, 646-627-8450. Also, follow at Barstool Drive on Twitter. If you're not able to call in, shoot us a DM on there, and we will answer it on air if we are able to. We realize Facebook Live is not conducive to any sorts of listening ability outside of pretty much anything. You can't listen to it in the
car. I'll sign into our drive time. I'll be the Twitter DM guy today.
Oh, wait.
Ooh,
yeah,
you can DM Trent.
Yeah, DM me. Slide into these DMs, babe.
They're open as fuck.
They're
slide
super
in.
Open.
Just right. As attractive as Francesca.
That's right.
Maybe even more.
With this stellar tan, absolutely.
Starting to turn into a tan.
It is. Look, you can see it peeling. Yep. Probably the folks at home can't. But
that's nice.
Yeah, you got a nice little beige going on there. With
up
the
top
hat.
My nose, yeah. I feel like it's going to fall off. But other than that, we're doing well.
You're really coming around.
Thank you.
Vacation boys, back in action. Got to love it. But first, as we do on every Barstool Drive Time, we delve into the news, what you need to know in the world, and one person can give it to you, and that is Riggs with Riggsy's News Minute.
We're going to start in my favorite place in the world, which is, of course, Syria. We had a devastating chemical attack believed to be carried out by the Syrian Assad regime last week. Everybody should have heard of that. Killed dozens of Syrian citizens. You can't do that. That's fucked up. Trump, of course, responded by firing 59 cruise missiles at Syrian targets. Chaps broke that down very well, as he should be able to do. Much better than I can, experienced guy. Anyways, Putin backs the Syrian regime. Yesterday, he did a little Trump thing where he touted some conspiracy theory that the U.S. facilitated the chemical attacks and is basically framing Syria. He also touted some theory that we're going to do it again near Damascus in the near future. Meanwhile, we're basically accusing Russia of a cover-up. As you could see, this whole thing is a fucking mess. It sucks. Speaks to why I kind of started writing about Syria. Check your fucking timestamps in the first place. This is kind of where everything is going to come together. It's not good. It's very bad. Also very bad, we've sent a naval strike group to the Korean Peninsula to kind of just hang around near North Korea. They've been doing their classic, you know, missile launch antagonizing thing. We sent the USS Carl Vinson aircraft carrier, a guided missile cruiser, and two battleships. We've done this before, but I think it's safe to say tensions are more heightened than they usually are. China wants us all to kind of relax. China is basically North Korea's only kind of ally in the world. So there's a lot going on there as well. Press Secretary Sean Spicer had a hell of a day yesterday. He said that not even Hitler stooped as low as to using chemical weapons.
It's a good one.
This is obviously interesting because of the Holocaust. He's since apologized a couple different times. Said he tried to draw a comparison for which there isn't one. That's correct. My theory and take here is pretty simple. If you're going to, you know, compare someone to the worst person of all time, you need to, like, be very sure about it. And he clearly wasn't. That's why he had to apologize a couple times.
Probably just avoid Hitler altogether when you're talking about anything.
If you're going to bring in Hitler, like I said, like, you better have a huge, huge bomb to drop. And he just, you know, he kind of kicked himself in the face right there. tried to explain it a couple times. Dude, you're the press secretary of the United States, like, figure it out. Don't say that shit. You got to know that you don't say that shit. That's your job.
See, that's the thing I have a problem with is how he kept digging himself a deeper hole. Just admit you are wrong. Just be like, yeah, I fucked up.
Well, and then he's doing the thing where he's like, well, technically what I meant is that. And it's like, dude,
exactly.
That's why you can't say that in the first place. You know the connotations of that. You said Hitler, for fuck's sakes. Anyways, United Airlines stock is down $1 billion after the fallout from the overbooking of a flight. And then, of course, they picked one dude, beat the shit out of him, and dragged him off the plane. You can't do that. Fucked up move by United. I believe they've now issued 4 apologies. The latest one was like kind of the real one.
I also saw rumors that, so yesterday it came out that he had exchanged drugs for sex.
Yep.
It's coming out maybe that the newspaper that dug that up and put it on blast had the wrong doctor.
Okay. Yeah, which is dog shit anyway. Like that has, none of that has anything to do with the case. So a lot of people are screaming about victim blaming and all that, in my opinion, as they should be. Basically, like this guy's now getting dragged through the media, they're fucking scumbags too, because now they're dragging him through the mud, all because of United overbooked their flight and beat the shit out of a guy. So, fuck United, they're down $1 billion, good stuff. Melania Trump filed a $150 million lawsuit against the Daily Mail's American affiliate Mail Online for reporting in August that she worked for a modeling agency that basically doubled as an escort service.
Believable.
First lady suing media for $150 million. That's kind of a big deal. And that's the Rigsy News Minute, the last thing that happened last night. A little Twitter beef with Lindsay Payless.
Beef.
Didn't see that coming. Actually, after I published a blog, I kept reading the headline and just laughing at how preposterous it was.
Wait, so explain how it went down. She was upset that people were DMing and, like, putting her phone number on blast?
Well, the main reason that I originally tweeted it is because her tweet sounded so ridiculous and just kind of bizarre to me that I thought it would be funny. She said something like...
Your tweet was pretty fucking bizarre.
She said... I thought... Anyway, we'll get to it. She said something like, people are trying to purchase me via cell phones and emails. We're going to test the LA like tip line, LAPD tip line, something like that. And I just quote tweeted it and said, I got like $300 left in my account. Will that do it? Clearly, in my opinion, a joke, mostly a self-deprecating joke about how I don't have any money left. Obviously a joke, in my opinion, as well, because $300 is like, it's not like I was like, how could you take that seriously? It's not like I was like, right, hey, I'll offer you $5,500 for a night. I just was like, $300. Anyway, she didn't like that.
Here's her tweet. If someone tries to purchase me via cell or email and I give their contact to the police, will they do anything?
Right.
And then your tweet was very much a back of the Uber, back of the cab, like, I'm going home. This is going to be a funny little tweet. Yeah. I thought it was, yeah, it's more on you being self-deprecating than being like, hey, babe, I actually want to buy you and, like, let's fuck.
Right. And that's what I thought. And then her response was clearly, her first response was clearly like something along the lines of, oh, go more in depth so that I can make sure the LAPD knows. And, like, basically trying to, she thought she was going to, like, scare me off. Didn't happen. Rigsy was not going to get scared off. Doubled down. Got into it a little bit. She clearly dug through my Twitter, pulled up a picture, and then just started shitting on me. That's when everybody got involved.
Yeah, she went nuclear pretty fast with putting a picture of you saying, I make jokes about girls being harassed. Harassed? Hashtag, of course I do. Then it's a picture of you, just your eyes.
Right. Yeah. So that, and I mean, in my opinion, she was like way more bullyish and all of that than I was to her. I don't think I like harassed her at all.
She whipped out the white male privilege on you.
She went like white male privilege. She dug herself deep. I even looked this morning at like, you know, 4 a.m. She was still tweeting about like how she drove across the UK with a black friend, and so he told her all about like white privilege. It was crazy where she ended up going with the whole thing.
Here's the thing. She was trying to, I was texting this to you. She's trying to fight too many fronts. Like at first it's like, oh, you're doing it for my body. You're commenting on my body. And then when she starts making fun of your body and it's
right.
Now it's time to be about equality and people are like, wait, now you're making fun of him. So
exactly.
She's like, oh shit, now I got to switch it and make it into white male.
And that was
like,
my whole point was it's totally fine if you're just okay with joking from the offset, but she wasn't. She like got pissed that somebody made a joke. And then later on in the tweets, she starts with when people are basically bitching back at her being like, well, what you're doing right now is disgusting. She's like, haha, it's a reference to South Park. You guys don't get the joke. And I'm like, well, the whole thing started because you didn't get the joke. So you can't have it both ways. It's either you're all in a joking and fucking around with each other or you're not. But you can't take one thing super seriously, freak out. And then when the person doesn't back down and it starts to get intense, she pulls out like white male privilege
it was
and
great.
All kinds of shit.
I think
it was wild.
There are lines that can be drawn and there can be people on her side in terms of making jokes about this and that, whatever. But then when she pulls out this was when everybody switched. Even the people on her side, this was her tweet. It was a quote tweet to some guy. I didn't make a comment about image. You all did. You should have assumed my insult was from him being male and white. Mm.
Yep.
And your response on your blog was perfect because in her Twitter bio, it says genetically gifted. And you just go, privilege? You're famous for everyone looking at you and wearing a fuck you. Imagine looking like me and getting to where I've gotten. Some people got to work for this shit. Wild.
Yeah, I mean, true. So if anybody's privileged here, like, I worked my fucking dick off to get into a really good prep school, get into the best school in the world.
Harvard.
I fucking emailed Dave a billion times and wrote a billion blogs to get hired at Barstool. I worked my dick off. That's not privilege. She walks around flaunting her tits and then literally sends out tweets about how she's pissed that people are objectifying her body when literally her job and the reason that she's famous is for objectifying her own body. So, again, you can't have it both ways. I don't give a shit that she objectifies herself and gets famous that way. That's great. I think she's really hot. It's awesome. It's when you can't accept it one way or the other and you want it both ways that that's when I draw the line and you're a hypocrite.
Yeah, her elevator obviously does not go all the way up to the top and stuff like this. And she dug a hole, and that was it.
That's the if she would have quit after a couple tweets and moved on,
yeah,
it would have been looked bad for me.
Or
the
even
more
if she
kept tweeting, like, it just looked better.
Even if she would have gotten a little comical with it, a little back and forth, and just would have lightened the mood. No, she kept doubling down. She kept stamping those tits down, and that was it.
Here's where people can go a Barstool where it gets in a weird spot, where we make jokes, public jokes at people like her, and then some of our readers, a very small percentage, take it way too far.
Right.
And she can be like, and she even kind of said this. She said, "You're joking, but some of the people who follow you are not." And we're like, okay, that makes sense. Like, those people who say that shit are assholes, but they're a very small percentage. But if she would have stopped there, it would have made us look terrible. But instead, she kept going and somehow got to white male privilege.
She kept going, and it just dug, and it made her look worse and worse the longer she kept going. It was great content for the night. I had to miss my hockey game, which was devastating.
It's brutal.
Blog don't sleep.
Yeah, what I did, I said that. I responded to that tweet really quickly in between subway stops when you get the internet for like 2 seconds.
Love
you know?
That.
Shot that tweet out, was underground for another 7 or 8 minutes, popped up, things were going nuts. And I was literally going home, grabbed my hockey game, I was going right back to the game. And then when Dave and everybody started getting involved, I was like, well, I can't go play hockey for two hours.
No, nothing I can do. Once you're down that rabbit hole.
What are you
so once Nate, once you went Nate at night on everyone, Nate at night presents Riggs. Riggs in the evening.
My first Periscope. It was a big night. It was a big night.
What do you have any thoughts for guys like Glennie or KFC who kind of switch sides on you?
Yeah, I do. I realized that I went back through this morning. Basically, nobody would have my back.
Like, I did.
Trent had one tweet that where you captured nicely in a GIF her kind of putting her foot in her mouth with the, you know.
Oh, guy fist pumping then like being confused.
Exactly. Yeah. That was really good. Octagon Bob, I think he somehow painted it like he had my back, but the more I looked, he just had Princess Leia's back the whole time. If you go through the tweets, he never actually directly defended me. He just got offended that she compared herself to Princess Leia.
I saw these trying to cut back on the Octagon stuff because he had already challenged Logan Couture earlier.
Yeah, he said
in the
he
day.
Only gets one a day.
So
Octagon, he's texted me like, you know, I'm here with you. And then I looked at his tweets this morning and like he never directly had my back. Glennie was like maybe the softest person in the whole thing, just immediately. And even in his tweets to her, which like obviously she's like, oh, cute, like cuddly, blah, blah, blah. He was like, I won't be like a mean Barstool blogger, like blatantly shitting on me. He hashtagged no Riggs. Dave just... Poor Portnoy is looking for any kind of not L. He's taking so many L's lately, getting cucked left and right. Everybody's fucking his girlfriends. She's moving in with her fucking new boyfriend that cucked him. He's got Gaz coming from the top rope on his separated wife's ass pictures with Yas Queen. He's looking for anything to stop the bleeding, so he went straight skull emojis. I really don't blame him for that.
Yeah.
KFC, I think he thought he was defending me, but just kept calling me ugly the whole time.
Yeah. I will say this. I would have had your back. I was MIA, and I didn't catch on until like 11 o'clock, and that was just way too late. Way too late to even chime in.
No, you should have seen Nate, too. Yeah. Nate texted me at like 11:30, and he's like, I go on one fucking date, and I miss all this.
No, wait. Hold
date
on.
Night, Nate.
That's him being that's like, hey, by the way, I went on a date.
Exactly.
That's no, how, I believe him. Exactly. Nate's my guy. I like Nate. I don't think Nate would lie to me.
No, he definitely went on a date. He just wanted to let you know that he was on a date.
Well, because when he came back, he was texting me in real time as he was like watching my Nate at Night presents Riggs at Night and all that. So I believe that he was truly trying to catch up.
I wasn't on a date. I played basketball and watched the first inning of the Phillies and said, fuck this. I put on the Americans and checked out for 3 hours.
I was eating wings with Captain Khan's Brett, Pat McAfee, and his boys, and I was still getting into it. We can do both.
Yeah, well, not when you're checked out.
True.
I was MIA, like completely off.
I guarantee the first thing Nate says to you, and he says it louder than his normal speaking voice, is, Nate, Riggs, I was on a date last night, man. I'm sorry. I wanted to help you out.
100%. Yeah, I even gave him a little, honorary shout out with the Nate at Night presents Riggs at Night. I thought he would like that. Yeah. He was nowhere to be found.
No. And you need the spider monkey in those situations. Yeah, he also come out with very accurate analysis.
Yeah, Portnoy too, like maybe one of the most savage retweets of all time. Just basically out of context, all it said was some dude
just
tweeted,
"You're ugly."
what an ugly dude, and Dave just retweeted it. It got out of nowhere. So
yeah,
it felt like I was on an island just battling against Lindsey Bayless.
That's your first Barstool Twitter beef, right?
Yeah, that was my first battle on Twitter.
We got Mike on the line right now. We want to chime in about the fight real quick. Mike from Chicago, what do you got, my man?
Hey, first off, I just want to say, you know, go Riggs. You know, the perseverance is noble, man.
I stand with Riggs.
To miss the hockey game is just commitment. Like, if anybody that disses that is just fucking crazy. And I just want to say one thing. We got to get this chick on the Foreplay podcast, like, period. I want to hear her speak these ridiculous tweets, like, out of her mouth. And laugh, and then cry, and then drink, and laugh more. So please get that happening.
Yeah, it'd be a weird episode of Foreplay, because usually we talk about golf. We would be talking to,
I mean, you have another show in which that would fit the bill.
Any show.
But no, I just throwing that out there.
Okay.
Any show.
I don't know if she's going to do the 7 a.m.
I just could tell she's going to sound so retarded.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. She did have a weird kind of finale where I made a joke about how we have a podcast called Foreplay, which kind of ties into everything.
And
we'd love to have a new guest, and she
down.
Said, "I'm down." So we'll see. Maybe we'll have Lindsey Bayless on the golf podcast.
Did
That'd
you guys
weird.
Have any sort of DMs back and forth about coming on the show, or she just
no,
she,
no,
that was it,
nothing.
Wow.
Last question: are her nipples available on the internet at all, or?
I believe so.
Yeah, I'm sure that's quite Googleable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some. She's pretty liberal with her showing her body out there, so you can find those.
I believe she did Playboy once.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. She's attractive. Like, mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it.
Oh,
she's a drop dead supermodel. Those boobs might be a little too much to handle.
Yeah, they're wild.
Yeah, they're a little too much wave in that ocean.
Yeah. I agree. They almost look like cartoonish.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not a big boob guy, as it is. You look at any of my, like, exes and stuff, they're not, like, anything in comparison
and
to
don't
that.
Get me
I
wrong, she's very hot. She's unbelievably
super
hot.
Super
hot. Yeah, she's great.
Super hot.
But, yeah, her tits are massive. They're huge.
Big jumblies. 646-627-8450. Call in and chime in about anything that you want, including Lindsey. Also, at Barstool Drive Time, at Barstool Drive DM, slide into Trent's DMs. He'll read out pretty much whatever you want. Pretty exciting week. Other than that, here at Barstool HQ, the Vacation Boys are back, obviously.
What up?
Tanned up.
Vacation Boys who work all weekend, all Saturday and Sunday.
All damn weekend.
Yeah, how much work did Dave do down there?
I don't know. I'm not going to speak to that. It's not my concern. I do my job. That's it.
Okay, we'll move on from
Even Pete has a good tan. Pete's looking...
Pete did have a good tan. Oh, can we go to Pete's Twitter war?
Oh, yeah,
Pete came in hot this morning, all about Carnival or Caravelle ice cream, saying how he was giving his kid a bath and was about to go to war against them. Pete, can you explain this story?
Yeah, it's crazy, but yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it's lunacy.
It's
pure
so
chaos.
All biz, Pete.
So first of all, I'm about as ancillary a Barstool character as you can find.
Okay.
I'm low on the totem pole here, and that's fine. But so for an actual Carvel ice cream Twitter account to just chirp me is really out of left field. But basically, I found it here. That Rhea was making a joke. And some guy said something about somebody needs to wear Dave's jersey from the basketball tournament and hold a hammy fathead for Jersey.
Okay.
Because they were doing dead people and Dave's dead. All right. So there you go, right?
Yeah, very, very, very ancillary tweet.
So Carvel goes, that tweet is ice cold. And then Rhea sees it and says, hey, Carvel, you want to do business? Talk to Jay, our sales guy. And then here comes Carvel saying, move over, Pete. Rhea's the new all business in the office.
Whoa.
Wow.
Right? So you're really coming out of left field to come at me that way. And so Rhea tweets that to me, and I say, well, Rhea, the internet needs fixing then, because we were famously without internet on Monday after our vacation. And then they say, they go to that and they say, are you going to fix it as fast as you got cable for Big Cat? This is another thing that really just happens on Twitter. It took me 6.5 months to get cable in the office.
And you realize you're talking to some 19-year-old college yeah, intern. This
dude knows all the backstory
exactly.
For Stoolie.
Running the 3,000-followed Caravel ice cream account.
That's what I'm saying. This guy is a huge Stoolie to know all this stuff. Yep. It's like all on Twitter. And so at this moment, I'm back from my vacation / work trip. Shout out Vacation Boys.
Thank you.
And giving my daughter a bath and putting her to bed. And I'm like, do I want this to be my first Twitter beef? Do I want to go in on Carvel ice cream? And that was my moment. And so I thought about the two ways I could go, and I decided to shut it down. I didn't have time for it tonight. So my
very adult of you.
Nice work. My first Twitter beef is still out there. If there are any weird brands that want to come at me, I might be ready. You pick a night that it's not my night to do bath in bed, and I might get in the mud with you.
Yeah, I'm sure like
there you go.
True Value or Rita's Water Ice will like.
It would have been a wild twist if I had gotten into it Lindsay Payless for a while, and then all of a sudden All Biz is getting into it Carvel ice cream.
I don't know where All Biz Pete's like, by the way, I got something I want to say to some people.
Yep.
Like, Carvel ice cream.
Fuck Carvel ice cream.
And you know All Biz Pete, or if you don't know anything about him, that guy stews. If you say something bad about him, he sits on it and thinks about it for 6 months, and all of a sudden you wake up, and you know what? Your family might not be there anymore. So I would not fuck around with All Biz Pete whatsoever.
Yeah, All Biz is a lot nicer on work trips.
Oh, I can see
vacation
that.
Trips.
Yeah, Vacation Boys had a good time down in Augusta, a lot of bonding, a lot of good times in the house. I mean, you really don't have any other option.
Yeah, we had to hang out.
You got
to
coexist. You got to be able to make the engine go.
Although Pete did say when he came back that we're just disgusting.
Yeah.
We're disgusting human beings because we...
You guys are disgusting.
I'm disgusting.
My room was spotless the whole week.
Mine was disgusting.
My clothes are all folded. I'm pretty OCD, so...
Oh, yes. Yeah, no. Pete was not happy with, like, the pistachio shells everywhere. Bowls of milk, things of that nature.
I mean, left bowls of cereal milk. I didn't have any cereal. Just bowls of used cereal milk all over the
house.
That's
got Rob and Trent written all over it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple cups of pistachio shells that people couldn't have been bothered to just throw away.
I don't eat pistachios, so...
I love pistachios.
Yes. Yeah. Just everywhere.
Yeah. It was a while. It was 8 days in Augusta. That's what it was. So Augusta's not the prettiest place in the world. Get outside the gates of Augusta National, and it's, oh boy.
Our house was pretty nice, though.
Our house was great. It just became a shithole.
Yeah, and we didn't. It not only became a shithole, it stayed a shithole, and we just left.
Yeah, yeah, that's correct. I wonder if somebody cleaned it.
I would hope so.
Well, that's what happens when you're down, would you say, 80 cans of Natty a day?
No. No, not a day.
Okay, maybe overall. Like, what was your over-under on Natty Light the weekend?
You know, we never got that shit-faced, I feel like.
No, not really.
Yeah, but you can drink that stuff like water. Yeah, especially if you get a nice base in you throughout
the
weekend.
Especially at the Natty Shack, because it was Friday, Saturday early, and you drink all day. Yeah, so you don't ever get, like, shit-faced.
You were playing fucking Flip Cup for hours.
I got pretty drunk playing Flip Cup, that's true. But, I mean, again, like you said, you could crank those things. Shout out to Natty, delicious. You can drink them all day.
It was hot. You're sweating them out.
You know, we drank, especially Friday, Saturday at the Natty Shack all day. I probably drank 15 or 20 of them a day.
And we said it. We never really got all that hungover, but I think that was partially because we're always up and doing stuff.
Yeah, we were up. We were busy. You know, we did 5 live shows. We did 2 radio shows.
A couple podcasts.
We did 3 podcasts while we were down there.
Plus, you're out in the sun.
Yeah.
You just sweat that shit out.
Sweat it right out.
Yeah. Get tan. Look like Uncle Fester. It's good life. Yesterday, we had a surprise appearance from Lord Stanley Cup, and big debate around the office, as all of us, or most of us, are hockey fans, including Big Daddy now.
Let's go Rangers.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I'm a Rangers fan now.
Yeah. Well, based on what?
Glennie was like, hey, Trent.
Fuck Glennie.
Glennie was like, you should root for the Rangers. I got a jersey for you. He's bringing it today. I'm all in.
Wow.
He's got a Kreider jersey. We took a picture with the cup yesterday. I have a question for you about the cup.
What's up?
So you had said you were a hockey guy growing up. You played in college. And is the rule about not touching the cup for guys like you, because you had said you would hope to win it one day?
Yeah.
Or is it – because people blow it out like it's the team thing.
I've always interpreted it as when you're growing up, if you're a hockey player, you know, everybody thinks you're going to play – you all think you're going to play in the NHL.
Yeah.
If you don't touch the cup, because that means it's bad omen, you'll never win it. Is kind of the...
You want the first time you touch it to be when you win it.
Exactly. And so that's the thought process. My thing was, I've sort of resigned to the fact that I'm probably not going to win it as a player at this point.
Not yet. Not with that attitude.
True. So then I decided to touch it yesterday. I don't. There's all kinds of theories, I guess, as fans. Like, if you touch it, you don't touch it. I don't really give a shit about any of that. My theory, however, was that as a huge Blues fan, the Blues have never won the Cup, and I've never touched the Cup. So I might as well just touch it and try to switch it up.
Might as well.
If they do win, it's going to be because I touched the Cup.
You see, I could not. I did not touch the Cup, and I was pretty 50-50 about it. It wouldn't be the most important thing in the world to me because I never played hockey growing up. But I specifically didn't touch it because I did not want to hear the wrath from every single Philadelphia sports fan.
I got it from the Rangers fans. I became a Rangers fan the day before. The Cup comes in. I touch it with both hands. Somebody said it looked like I was touching a pair of boobs, which it did.
Kind of.
And then I put it up there, and Rangers fans are mad at me.
Yeah, I wasn't going to be that guy just to cause any sort of stir whatsoever when it came to touching the Cups.
Yeah, I didn't cause any stir yesterday either. None. Just in general?
Blues fans? No Blues fans? Are there Blues fans? Is St. Louis like a big hockey town?
Yeah. I mean, that's all we have is we have Cardinals and Blues. I mean, the Blues are obviously second to the Cardinals, but
St. Louis is a good sports town.
St. Louis is a good sports town. St. Louis, the Blues, especially because the hockey, like the hockey community, the youth hockey community in St. Louis over the last 10 or 15 years has grown dramatically. When you had a lot of the guys that were kind of superstars in the Blues retired in like the early mid-2000s and decided a lot of them to stick around and kind of raise families in St. Louis. Hmm. And therefore a lot of their kids, they started coaching their kids' teams, all that. So now hockey, you see a lot more guys in the NHL draft, stuff like that, that come from St. Louis, and that all facilitates up. And hockey's much bigger now in St. Louis.
I will tell you one thing about having Lord Stanley Cup in the office, which was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool experience.
Yeah.
That guy in the white gloves who walks around as its caretaker is the biggest pretentious piece of shit known to man. That guy, he like I said yesterday, that's the type of guy who walks into a bar and you know he's in charge of being the Uber driver for the Stanley Cup because he tells you he's the bodyguard for the fucking Stanley Cup.
I would say that to people though. I'm the keeper of Lord Stanley.
You gotta do what I do with the H-bomb thing, which you let people find out on their own. It's a lot cooler that way.
Yeah,
with
exactly.
You with the what?
The Harvard thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You don't come in flaunting it. You wait until
exactly, and you look. Half it's hour gonna
come out. You look better that
it's
way.
It's gonna. You do. It's gonna come out quick when you come in wearing white gloves. Like, people are just gonna know.
That's gonna be a dead giveaway.
It's a conversation starter. Like, oh, maybe he doesn't tell people, or does he?
I didn't talk to the guy.
Am I wearing white gloves?
Dude, yeah, you're weird.
You didn't have to talk to this fucking Canadian cock dancer to fucking realize he was in charge of the Stanley Cup.
So you didn't talk to him?
I asked him one question, and he was like, it was a legitimate question, too, and it was just, it was very general, like, oh, what happened, what's the process behind when you run out of room? And he just goes, oh, if I had a nickel every time I heard that, I'd be an owner. Yeah.
He fucking schooled
you. Like, just answer
you.
The question,
that's an elementary.
Asshole.
That's an elementary question. That's why.
Okay, excuse me. I don't see Lord Stanley Cup every single time. It's your job to fucking flaunt this thing around. I asked that. He said that verbatim and then didn't answer the question.
I'm with Smitty.
I like this guy.
No, I'm with Smitty.
Just answer the fucking question.
Hey,
have you ever heard of Google on your phone? I bet you can find out pretty fucking quick.
Okay, but I want to talk to the guy who carries the Stanley Cup around. Right, like, that's what he's here for.
Exactly. The guy who carries the Stanley Cup, his job isn't to, like, actually protect the cup. He goes with it because the Stanley Cup can't talk.
He acted like he was the number one Secret Service guy for the president.
I like that he's pompous about it.
I would like it if he was like a little bit more villainous about it, but instead he was just kind of like a pompous douche.
He was a dick. He looked down at everywhere. He called McAfee an idiot to his face. McAfee is an idiot.
McAfee said to him, I think I hate you. That's what McAfee said. Literally said it to his face.
This motherfucker was standing around, and within 30 seconds, I heard him bring up on his own that he travels more than pilots 240 days a year on
Let's
the road.
Go.
And he's a vegan.
All right, well, now
just
I'm out.
Just out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. He is that guy.
Vegans suck. Now I wish
Trent's
he hadn't brought
out
that.
On vegan.
I was going to say, everything else.
Trent's
like
now furious that he's a vegan.
I like the part where he's like, oh, I'm the Stanley Cup guy. He's kind of mysterious. He's got white gloves. He's shitting on Smitty. I kind of like that. But now that he's a vegan, I think I'm
Yeah,
like,
I'll tell you what. He's the fattest fucking vegan out there.
Yeah, if you're going to be a vegan,
Smitty.
You need to be, like, in shape.
Smitty.
No, that guy riled me up. I was asking, hey, Marco, are we getting sponsored by the NHL or anything? Can I write a blog about this guy? And, like, okay, Marco's just like, hold off, man, hold off. And I was steaming in the corner for a little bit. I hate people.
So is there going to be a problem that we just shit on the
show? I was going to say, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have done that.
Nobody listens to this show. We don't know that. Now, probably shouldn't have said that, but... what else we got going on? 646-627-8450. Fuck that guy.
No, I like that guy. I'd rather him be that way than be like all lovey-dovey with everybody. He's got to protect the cup.
At 9:30, halfway through the show, we do what we always do, getting a little Barcelona news and notes, see what's going on around the atmosphere here. Pat McAfee show dropped yesterday, I believe, or the day before, and
That's a must-listen.
It's a must-listen. Good old Uncle Chaps is on there, talks about his military days, and it goes deep. Real deep.
I listened to it yesterday. Robbie Fox listened to it yesterday at his desk. Made him sad and cry a little.
Yep. Robbie's a big crier, too.
Yeah.
Robbie cries during every Star Wars. He said he cries during the Star Wars trailers when they first come out.
This was a warranted cry.
Yeah, this was a warranted cry.
Listen to that. It's something. It's great.
Before we get into more news and notes, we got Brad on the line. He wants to talk Stanley Cup guy. Bring it!
What's going on, man?
What's going on? How we doing?
Not much. I don't even know who the fuck that guy was yesterday. The real keeper of the cup is this Phil Pritchard guy. He travels with the cup when it goes to Europe in the off season and shit. He goes with it.
What was that? This guy?
Yeah, I was a little surprised who this guy was. I was a little surprised by that too, because the guy, aren't there two of them that usually go with the cup?
Yeah. I'm from Canada. There's like commercials and shit. This guy's a little superstar.
Like, yeah, this guy's like famous. This guy was not that. He was like a rent-a-cup, like, you know.
Yeah, he's literally the Uber driver for the cup.
Yeah.
If the cup goes to some place where they don't want to go to, like Barstool, they bring this
I'm glad
guy.
He
they
said that, because when I saw him, I was like, this cup is not with who it's usually with.
Wow, so that makes me fucking hate him more. He's a fake Stanley Cup holder.
I think you guys got the third cup yesterday, like the infamous fake third cup or something.
Probably.
I don't know what's going on.
Infamous fake third cup. That's the most Canadian call of all time. You guys got the old infamous fake third cup there.
Oh, yeah, I got the third cup.
Yeah, and this guy was blatantly saying, like, what and what we can't do with the cup, which is absolutely fine.
That just sounds like his job.
No, which was absolutely fine. But it wasn't that he was saying it, it was how he was saying it. Just every little thing was just the most degrading thing possible. Absolutely degrading.
Don't let a Stanley Cup holder ruin your day, Smitty.
There's plenty of other things that ruined my day before him. He just doesn't help, and that's on a daily basis.
When their golf spikes are losers, what Dave's saying. Dave leaves town, and Frank is like, I've had golf spikes in my bag all week.
I brought them just to go.
I brought them, and I'm going to wear them to the course.
What a pussy.
He's like, I didn't want to say anything.
He had to do it. Yeah, that's the type of thing where you just say, fuck you, Dave, and do it right in front of him. But I mean,
he's Dave's guy.
Yeah.
He's the biggest GoPres Go guy on earth. Yeah. He has to be.
Oh,
so.
No. No, Frankie, no.
Yeah, sorry about that, Frankie. That's on you.
Yeah.
Have a spine, Frankie.
PMT had Scott Van Pelt on over the weekend to do more Masters talks. Check that out. Podfathers got into Syria a little bit. Nice little dad talk. I guess when World War III is upcoming, you got to be protective of your family.
Yep.
And then got into it. And, that's pretty much it. Game time last week had Cooley getting his tattoo live on air.
How about Hank getting a tattoo? What was the thought? We were gone.
Hey,
what was the thought process in the office about that?
Yeah, we were stunned.
Dave was speechless.
There was a tattoo guy in the office. He basically had he opened the floodgates and said, anybody who wants a free tattoo, let's go.
I'm kind of glad I wasn't around, because I might have done that. And I've swore off tattoos forever. I've never wanted one. But if you put a free tattoo guy in front of me, I'd probably get something.
Yeah, and this guy had his jailhouse set up right there.
Yeah.
All I was missing was the pruno in the back to get you a little loaded up beforehand. But
does anybody in here have tattoos?
I have a brand. That's it.
That's right.
You guys have seen my brand.
I have seen it on your back shoulder or whatever.
Yeah, and it's basically exactly what you just described. Like, someone was there with a stove and a knife, and people were doing it, and I was drunk, and I ripped off my tuxedo shirt, wrapped it up like a rope, put it in my mouth, and was like, let's do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, solid Harvard decision-making right there.
Yep. Mine, actually, I would say out of all the people that did it, mine looks the best. Some people got it on their bicep, and that skin's soft, so it, like, bubbles a little bit. So there's mine are, like, direct lines.
Yours look like you got kind of a bear kind of
Exactly, like a bear, or maybe like a mountain lion attacking a cyclist, but he can't quite grab him.
Yeah.
So he just claws him a little bit.
That should be the story as opposed to...
That's what I usually
go
with.
Good.
Like, if I'm in a pool party or something,
yeah,
and the chick's like, oh, my God, what happened to your back? I'm like, bear.
Bear. Bear.
Bear, what's your name, little thing?
But back or ass is the only spot you can really do that. Who does it on the arm? Because you're definitely going to be in a situation to where that thing's going to be visible.
I could agree more. I'm on, like I said, mine, and then I Neosporin it 3 times a day for 3 weeks, and mine came out relatively good. So
Well, that's why Hank's tattoo isn't a huge deal, kind of like your peach tattoo on the ass. It's just, it's on your ass or it's on his inner leg. Where did Coley get his?
Well, that was an accident, and Coley got his on his inner thigh. But that's like Coley's fourth
what was an
deal
accident?
With the ink, my tattoo.
Well, you just didn't play well.
Oh, you got the same one?
He got a Wario tattoo.
Oh,
yeah. So thigh. I've been anti-tattoo, but it's actually
Coley was jumping around a little bit because he I'm not sure
how well it
came out. No, because we were playing. The idea was we were playing Mario Kart again, and like he would get angry and then like jolt up a little bit.
Oh,
and didn't realize he had to stay perfectly
right.
Freaking still.
I need to see the tattoo. I'm gonna ask him when we get out of here.
And drive time. People have been asking about what's going on with the show. Basically. To peek behind the curtain a little bit, as of now, we're on Facebook Live, which sucks because it's not very conducive for a drive time show. Or
we just
B,
don't have the right platform for what we're trying to do yet. We haven't figured it out.
Exactly. We can't. We're looking into just putting it on a podcast form. We're looking into other ways to do it, but we're not going anywhere. The three of us, we're pretty dedicated to this, to do it at least two times a week thus far.
We like the show. We love doing the show. We know people like the show. We're just trying to figure out the best medium, the best times, all of that, when to do it. We haven't quite honed in on that yet.
Basically, if we had a serious show like how Barstool Radio does it, that would be perfect because that's the only way we can take live calls and keep it like kind of newsy and daily the way we want it to is through Facebook Live. And we put it on SoundCloud and iTunes. If you search Barstool, I don't know if we're technically allowed to yet, but it goes automatically onto my old iTunes Barstool Philly Sports and Life, and it's just basically there.
And so, the other thing people got to realize is that the to fill the void that there's no Barstool content in the morning.
Yes.
That was literally what we tried to do. We tried to be like, hey, we're willing to get up early. We're willing to crank content every morning earlier before, because Barstool doesn't start publishing till 9:30. So we were like, there's time there to do something. Videos don't ever go up till at least 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
That was the whole point. So if we just start publishing a podcast, that doesn't really do what we set out to do. So that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah. And it helps you guys listening, obviously. Like I said, it's on SoundCloud directly after we tweet it out and the Barstool Philly Sports and Life. And if any sort of support on there or on Twitter or whatever you give, that only helps the cause. Because, like I said, as long as we're still able to do this, we like doing it. We don't mind getting up. But, we're still trying to find that happy place in the end. Tanner, what do you got for us, my man?
Hello!
Hello!
Hey. Vacation Boys, huge golf clap for you guys. The podcast, the Facebook Live, Trent's tan line on his head, all A-plus stuff.
Thanks, Tanner.
Thank you.
Riggs, a little upset with you, though, that we didn't get a Syria blog after the bombs, but you totally redeemed yourself with the Lindsay Pellis tweet.
Thank you.
But anyways.
For the record, I wrote a Syria blog after the bombs, and it actually was published for about 5 seconds, and I realized that Chaps had published one at the same time, and his was way better than mine, so I took mine down.
Okay, fair point.
Yeah.
Anyways, Trent Riggs, where does the Masters week rank on your top moments of your life?
Top moments of my life? Pretty high.
The Tuesday that Trent and I had where it was 85 degrees and we went to Augusta National for the first time, which I wrote a long blog about, was honestly probably the greatest day of my life. That was probably the coolest day of my life. How much it meant to me. That's how cool it was. Just seeing the course, seeing the history. I was starstruck by a piece of property.
Yeah.
Which is just stunning. At the same time, it was beautiful out. We drank a couple beers. We tried the pimento cheese. It's like you're also outside. It's peaceful. You're walking a little bit, so it feels like you're exercising. You know, just add everything together, and it was just a really, really awesome day. I tried to put it into words afterwards. I know people appreciated that blog, but I still don't think I did it anywhere near justice.
Yeah.
So for me, that was probably the coolest day I've ever had.
Yeah, I'd put it definitely top five. Yeah. I mean, just as a golf fan, you always hear about Augusta. You grow up watching the tournament. Top five for me. And it was awesome.
A little announcement. The fourth annual Barstool Golf Outing will be August 5th in Avalon, at Avalon Golf Club in Avalon, New Jersey. We're still deciding on the time and a little bit of details, but the Four Play Boys will be there. We're going to auction off a spot to play with them. Also, we're trying to get The big dogs down, Prez, Big Cat, basically whoever. So keep an eye out on that. It's for charity. It's a good time. It's pretty much a day full of savagery. Prices went up a little bit this year because Drunk Stewie decided to drive the cart right into the drink last August.
Pretty iconic moment in the history of the tournament.
Yeah, which keep an eye out on that. It's for charity. It's a good time. It's pretty much a day full of savagery. Prices went up a little bit this year because Drunk Stewie decided to drive the cart right into the drink last August.
Pretty iconic moment in the history of the tournament.
Yeah, which wasn't the best. Wasn't the best. We had to smooth over a little. We're going to play a little politics there on
the
Barstool
side. Is this the same course?
Same course. Same course. I'm not sure if any other course is going to allow us.
How far is this place from New York?
It's about 2 hours. South Jersey. Gotcha. Right in the heart of Philly shore life.
So, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
So we'll be going.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah,
I'm really excited. That's going to be a fun day.
Oh, we're making a weekend out of it.
We're making a huge weekend out of it. We're going to be, I think we're going to be at the course very early. We're going to be drinking with people. We're going to play golf all day. We're going to do happy hour afterwards.
Exactly.
And we're going to be on the shore. Is that what it is, the shore?
Down the shore.
I got to get my beach bod going.
Yeah, you got Thursday night Jacks, Friday night Princeton or Sea Isle, Saturday Whitebriar happy hour, Sunday no shower happy hour.
I don't know. You're saying a lot of words right now. They sound like
terms. It's going to be.
This is going to be. We're going to be on Smitty's train all weekend.
You guys especially. I'm a little calmed down. I'll be subdued by that point.
I'm a very easy go with your flow type of guy. When I go into your scene, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Mm-hmm. I'll follow. I'll have a good time. I'll blend right in. It'll be a good time.
646-627-8450 if you want to call in. Shoot the shit about anything. Also sliding into Trent's DMs right now. He's live on Barstool Drive Twitter account. We actually have a very good DM coming into the show. It's to tickle your fancy a little bit. What's the best sporting event to take a first date?
Ooh.
Sporting event to take a first date.
Because you think about it, you don't want it to be your Super Bowl. You don't want it to be the best thing possible. I won't even watch a game with a woman if it's like hardcore playoffs. I don't even like watching it with anyone.
Right. I would say regular season baseball game for a couple reasons. One, it's outdoors. It's nice. It's sunny. The main thing probably is she probably doesn't really understand baseball unless she's a big baseball fan, and you can explain the rules and shit like that.
There you go.
I think that would be
a father, buy a program, keep score.
Maybe, yeah. Well, that's a little too much.
It is a lot.
Maybe luck out, catch a foul ball, and you give it to her. Give it to a kid.
But that could you definitely give it to a kid. You catch it, you put it up there, get the applause, then, like, hand it off.
Right.
But that could backfire. What if it comes screaming hot at you? You can't move. You got to take one for the team.
Yeah, yeah. No,
you can't
definitely
be like that guy in Houston who ducks out of the way.
Yeah, remember that?
A hitter.
Yeah.
It's not a good look.
No, I think regular season baseball game is the way to go.
I think it's tough to argue with that. I think regular season baseball, it's chill. It's nice out. You're hanging. I remember, like, when I lived in Boston for a long time, you take a chick over to Fenway Park.
Yeah.
And there's always, you know, good baseball ballpark-type bars right outside of basically every ballpark in America.
Yep.
Get a nice drink. You know, you even leave a couple innings early and go to the bar a lot of times.
Yeah. A day baseball game is almost unbeatable.
The only thing I would have that one-ups that is maybe a minor league baseball game, because then you're completely checked out.
Oh, well, Cedar Rapids Colonels action?
Exactly.
Ooh, and let's go.
A lot of fan favorite stuff. There's T-shirts in the round, going around, maybe like a couple
they do the thing
races
where
and shit.
Yeah, where they look down at the bat and they spin, they got to run.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good time. Good time had by all.
One of the greatest, in my opinion, cinema first date scenes is She's Out of My League when they go to the Penguins hockey game.
Okay.
You guys seen that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great date. So sporting events in general, I think, are really good for first dates. Also, what's the breakup when he meets her when she's Jennifer Aniston
at Wrigley
Cubs game with another dude?
Yep.
And he just starts chirping.
You want a hot dog?
Starts chirping his plaid shorts or something like that. Yeah, that's a great scene.
I would have said something like the Harlem Globetrotters would have been a good first date. But that's not even a game. That's just entertainment.
Yeah.
At this point, I remember going to one.
That's like going to a circus.
It's fun to watch. They're clearly athletic, but then they fucking break out in like a choreographed dance right in the middle of the game. What if you're betting on that shit? Taking the Generals,
Anything where you can take a date where you can kind of like a sporting event where you can explain the rules and stuff. I think that's a good way to go.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes you look good.
Yes.
Makes you look good.
Everybody's having fun. It's not too intense. Yeah. Hockey's probably too intense overall.
Yeah.
Too much going on. Yep. Same with football. It's like you want to be paying attention.
Yeah. Same with basketball as well. Speaking of basketball, Barstool Intramural, Hard Knocks started this week. We were supposed to play on Monday, but apparently the Jews got involved. And it was Passover.
Smitty, I'm just seeing you wake up with the perfect Lindsay Payless fucking blog.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
You're an asshole.
Hey.
I like he puts perfection. Perfect.
Jesus. It's just perfection.
That's touche. That's a nice little troll job from Smitty. I might click on that. I haven't clicked on one of your blogs in a while.
You're not the only one.
Ouch.
Barstool Intramurals had the first scheduled game on Monday, but it was Passover, so the Jews could not play. From the other squad, and that is not derogatory at all, I don't think. So instead of having our first game, Coach Nate assembled all of us into the court to have a practice.
So talk to me about the team. I've seen really much of it is just through Nate's eyes, yeah. So I want to see it through your eyes.
We got a lot of scrappers. That's the best
team
way to
sucks.
Put it. Yeah, we got a lot of guys either pushing 30 or on the wrong side, or a lot of undisciplined youngins who need to be you know, educated a little bit in the game. We got a lot of guys who don't know what's going on. You asked about the rules of basketball and want to play. Brett is out there playing basketball and asked me the rules on defense, which I don't even know what that means. Like, you fucking just stand in front of someone and don't tackle them. And that's basically all you need to know about playing defense.
So Brett and I are both hockey guys.
Yeah.
We don't know the defensive rules of basketball because sometimes they like fucking push and slap each other. They don't call anything. Other times a guy goes up to shoot and like a finger barely grazes him and they call a foul immediately. We don't fucking know the rules.
It's at the discretion of the refs.
It's very subjective.
So there are no like clear
rules.
Well,
it's like. Isn't,
so I don't know why you shit on me so much when I was like, I don't really get the rules of defense. Nobody fucking does. That's why every game
what
they bitch about the
nobody
calls.
Nobody does.
Clearly, like even the refs of the actual top-level basketball don't know the fucking rules because every time there's a game, people bitch about how far off they were on the calls.
That's outrageous. It's completely up to the discretion of the refs how much they want to let the kids play or how not, especially in this intramural
basketball
league.
Okay, so there's no clear-cut rules. If it's up to the discretion of the ref how much they want to call it, there's no clear-cut rules.
Well, that's to say that would be like I was saying there's no strength zone in baseball.
Yeah, it's common sense.
Right.
Like, you don't go up and just like start slapping the person. As long as you're going for the ball every single time, that's basically the only rule.
Okay, but I'm saying that you shouldn't have been so harsh on me when I made the comment.
Oh,
like,
sorry. Sorry, triggered, Harvard.
No.
Sorry.
The way
you said it, though, was crazy. You were like, I don't understand basketball
yeah,
rules.
Yeah, exactly.
We thought you were talking about like, oh, I don't know there's out of bounds. Yeah. I don't know there's like
we didn't. We just
shit.
Thought you
all
could take the ball and throw it in the fucking
work.
Fence. Like, man,
you said it like such a
nest.
Baby deer. Like, yeah. I don't understand the rules.
That's not true. That's just the hockey guy saying that the discretionary thing
hockey guys,
is tough to.
Hockey guys hating
to
basketball is a tale as old as time.
I get I'm not hating on it. I've said many times that I've tried to like basketball. I don't enjoy watching it, but I don't hate on it. I'm not one of those idiots that just blindly hates on it. I actually enjoy playing because it's an unbelievable workout, how hard it is.
Oh, yeah.
But I just don't understand defensively what to do, and I'm glad Brett is basically personifying my concerns on the show.
As long as you guys hustle out there, like, that's fine.
I'm a hustler.
We'll send you in as the goons. You, Brett, and Connor, who is an almighty goon, he's playing for John Chaney first string, like, if possible. Connor was playing like it was game 7 of the NBA Finals against Kale. Kale was driving baseline. He clearly just... You want to talk about rules on defense?
Yep.
This was clearly a violation. He just goes up and fucking chest bumps.
I saw Captain,
into the third row.
Captain Khan's shirt was drenched in sweat.
Khan's is a hustler. He goes all out. Not the best talent out there. Granted, not any of us are really clear-cut best talents. So Monday was more of a tryout to see what Coach Nate could assess and put out there. We had everyone. We had people from the business side. Megan. Megan, who
Photoshop Meg,
yeah, who Erica says is the best athlete in the office, even came by and tried to play. Which I mean, she's fine, she's actually a very good basketball player, but like when it's 5-on-5 and she's the only girl out there and she ends up guarding me, I'm just like, okay, like it's especially for me, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation,
it's like wrestling a girl,
yeah. That's a no win.
Or it's like dodgeball when you killed that chicken.
Well,
that
dodgeball is different. Everyone steps onto the same court. Basketball, especially when you're the only girl.
You step on the same court in basketball.
But right. She's she's the only girl, and you don't
She was the only girl playing dodgeball.
Correct.
Yeah, but dodgeball is a horse of a different color. That dodgeball is war. That's a battle.
Dodgeball is inherently more violent, and you're more okay with full bore on a girl than that in basketball?
That piece of whatever, Allie, or whatever her name was, knew what she was getting into when she got into that. Meg, like, she's on the basketball court. She's, like, trying to pump fake me and do all this. I get the ball in the low post. I just, like, stand there. I'm like, I can't do anything. I can't. What if I just, like, turn around and deck her? Like, it's not a good look. Or worse, what if I turn around and miss a shot? Like, I can't.
It's a lose-lose. Yeah.
Trust me, we understand what you're saying, but there is video evidence of you almost murdering a woman on a dodgeball court.
So casualties of war. What are you going to do?
Why do you draw the line between basketball and dodgeball?
Because dodgeball is just, it's blatantly, you're on a battlefield. Basketball, you're playing a game.
You're a psychopath.
I'm a psychopath.
That's crazy.
Okay.
They're both a game.
If anything,
they're not a
dodgeball
game.
No,
dodgeball, you're looking to like hurt and
that's what I'm saying.
Kill
no, you're
saying.
Not. You're just looking to get them out. You're taking dodgeball the movie and thinking that it's like
honestly,
it
dodgeball.
Is kind of real life.
Honestly, if anything, it should be flip flopped. You should be like on a basketball court. It's a game. We're all different levels, but we're all on the same court. Dodgeball, you don't want to hurt anybody because you can. It's a violent game. That's how you should look at it. You go the other way.
Yeah, but there's no holding back in dodgeball. You can hold back in basketball a little bit.
You can hold back in everything.
Nah,
yep.
I don't think so.
True.
I don't think so. But anyway, long story short, women are no longer allowed to play on our Barstool and Real basketball team.
That was where we got with that one.
So, well,
you're
not
gonna,
not
you're
just
to break that news to Rhea because she's excited
well,
to try out.
Okay, well, Rhea missed the tryout. That was the tryout. Rhea's bitching yesterday all day. He's like, "Oh, I want to play basketball. Why don't you invite me?" Like thinking she gets some sort of privilege, little white girl privilege, that like she can automatically like come onto the team. Nate blatantly said, "No, you can't." But on top of that, like, Meg just – I was standing there.
How mad are you at Meg?
I'm not mad at her. I was just mad that basically I couldn't play basketball for, like, two games because she was guarding me. I'm standing there.
I'm shocked you didn't just roast her. Like, what is the
– Yeah,
that's how you solve the problem. Then you're like, well, I'm better than her. And then she eventually, like, fizzles off and either decides she can't play
because
or
I'm
guard
a good,
someone else.
Because I'm a decent human being. I'm not cheating
but
my
you're
friend.
Not.
I didn't
you've,
want to make
we've
her
watched
die.
You kill some chick
See,
in
that,
dodgeball.
Dodgeball is a completely different game. It's not a game. It's war.
That's false.
That's insane.
Now, okay, well, the worst part, I mean, Meg is up there with rules with you, and this is another reason why she's not allowed to play. I was in the paint.
Megan has been banned from dodgeball.
Yeah, no.
Or from
basketball.
Yeah, basketball.
I was in the paint, and she went – I was in the paint on offense, and she went up to me, and she said, I'm in the big box of blue for 5 seconds. That should be a foul. It's like, okay, first of all,
I'm going to start saying that to you the whole time.
First,
I'm in the big box of
first
blue.
First of all, exactly hon, it's called the paint. Second of all, it's 3 in the key. Like, learn your shit before you want to dance with the big boys and play on the team. So, fired off the team.
I'm
going to
meet
as
your
GM.
Ass in the big blue box. Maybe
Wait,
and I'm going to kick your ass.
Did you say no girl, more girls loud, or did Nate do that?
I think it was a cohesive
No. So, what it sounds like is Nate's going to be recruiting chicks for the team.
Yeah.
Nate might come in with, like, 5 starting chicks next week just to piss off Smitty.
You know what? Fine. And then Nate will lose the game, and the GM is going to have to make a decision because I don't want my
ass
on the line.
Who's the GM?
I'm the GM.
Oh.
I don't
and
want
Dave's
my ass
the owner.
On the
You're GM
with,
player.
With owner Page Jews up there, like, coming down, expecting his
I think it's
rings.
Problematic that you're a GM player because that basically makes the coach obsolete.
Yeah.
Why do you think I hired Nate?
I don't like that. I think we got to make –
Well,
talk
do, you want,
to
do you want
to
win?
We
got
to talk to –
There needs to be a balance of power. There needs to be checks and balances.
There will be checks and balances. We are listening to Coach Nate 100%.
But
that's why
at
young
the end
Paige
of the day, you
suspended.
Can say whatever you want. You can
yeah,
do whatever you want.
The power structure is going to probably need to be honed in on a little bit. I don't think it's quite right.
You know what? You know what solves everything? Winning. As long as we win, we'll be all right.
That's an empty comment, and you're just trying to move on from what we're talking about.
That's a Tiger Woods mantra. Yeah. Winning takes care of
everything. Let's move on.
If you ain't first
or
last, that's a little Ricky Bobby's dad.
Yeah, boom.
Let's move on to a little today in history. Big day, actually, in history. In 1770, Parliament repeals the Townshend Acts, which I think was big at one point. 1861, Fort Sumter is shelled by the Confederacy, starting the American Civil War.
Oh, damn.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Nobody died in that. However, they did, I believe, like every hour they would go across and make sure everybody's okay on the other side. that's when nobody thought the Civil War was going to be like a big deal.
It's when they took like picnic baskets,
yeah,
like to the hills and started watching.
Yeah, yeah. And then they literally rowed boats over to the like into Fort Sumter, and they're like, "Is everybody all right in here?" And all right, we're going to keep showing you. It was wild.
Yeah. 1877, the first catcher's mask is used in a baseball game. Very interesting. Okay, can you imagine playing baseball without a mask? Catching without a mask?
No, the hockey goalies used to play without a mask.
Exactly.
Crazy.
What were the pucks like back then?
They're the same puck, it's just nobody had a curve, so nobody really raised the puck very
often. The puck made out of? Rubber?
Rubber.
Was it made of rubber? Yeah, was it made of rubber in the early 1900s?
Yeah, it was like same puck, but it was, you got to realize they literally had flat sticks, so you couldn't shoot the puck very high. It was like impossible. Okay. And now, you know, with the curves on the stick and the fact that they're made out of much different material.
200.
They can just rip it.
Yeah,
so it's a lot different.
Mile per hour missiles.
It's a lot different.
Even in the 70s, playing with those Jason.
Yeah, it was also it was also like sticks were generally, it was like an unwritten, it's a rule, but sticks were kept below like waist level. If you ever got caught like with a high stick, people would just beat the shit out of you. Like, that's basically what happened.
It's wild, wild time.
Oh, yeah.
Wild time in hockey. 1945, FDR dies. 1955, Jonas Salk discovers the polio vaccine. Bet you FDR could have used that one. Soviet Yuri Alekseyevich Gagarin becomes the first man to orbit Earth. Fuck commies. That was in 1961. And 1983, Harold Washington is elected first black mayor of Chicago. Good for him. Anything else?
I just want to give a shout out to a guy who had an unbelievable tweet that I didn't really capture until late last night, where he said, is it bar stool or is it bars tool? Like, we're all tools.
Oh.
Yeah. He was like
that's
a pro
right.
Payless
you
guy.
You know what we should have done? Is we should have had you collect all of the guys who come out of the woodwork to bash Barstool,
mm-hmm.
and like when the Payless thing happens, and how like lame the, like that one is.
Yeah,
perfect.
I see if you can decipher this one. I read this out loud to Gaz when I got it. I got a tweet saying that Barstool Sports is filled with guys who can't parallel park their pickup truck.
True. I am that's a terrible hilarious. Parallel parker.
That's hilarious. True. No, so my high school job was, I was a valet, so I could parallel park anything.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
We used to parallel park like school buses and shit. No problem.
My high school job, I was a bellhop.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Took out the old van
every
once in a while, the Desmond Hotel.
There you go.
Great money. Jesus.
That's great. You make tips. Nice.
My high school job was I worked at a grocery store. I sacked groceries.
You're the bagger. You're Brooks.
Plastic.
Yeah,
or paper.
I was Brooks.
Paper, plastic.
Paper, plastic. I was a little grocery bag guy.
Did you graduate to stocking shelves?
No, never. And I had I would sack groceries and I would go get carts from
the
parking lot.
You're Red and Brooks from Shawshank.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paper, plastic.
It was a nice
man.
Little job.
Thanks,
making like,
thanks
making
for
like,
chiming in.
Making like $5.75 an hour.
Oh, yeah.
You
back
go every,
in the day.
Me and my buddy Mark, we would go every 2 weeks, get our like $80 paycheck, and just like buy weed and beer with it.
That's nice.
Absolutely.
It was
what,
great.
What else would you buy with it?
Yeah, nothing in high school. You got no responsibility in high school. You just buy all alcohol and drugs.
No, valet was great. We made like $8 an hour, and then we kept all of our own tips.
Oh, yeah.
We just like under the table.
Great life.
Yep. Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Great life. Until you crashed the car. And then
I did that once. I backed into a car in a parking lot. Like, wide open parking lot, too. It was a Friday afternoon. We were like ready to fucking get the hell out of there. And we usually like, you know, we eliminate the cars by rows. So there's just one row of cars left, and I thought there were none other in the parking lot. Didn't even look. Backed out going like fast.
You're like an old person in Seinfeld.
And I just had to call my boss. She's like, it's okay, we have insurance, not a big deal. But I was like crying. I was like, I ruined everything.
Yep.
And then you bring the car up to the person and it's
like sorry, man.
It's like totaled. You're like, so I hit something.
There's insurance for that.
Yeah,
maybe.
It was tough. It sucked.
All right, I'll wrap up Barstool Drive Time. We'll be back on Friday, correct?
Yeah,
Friday this week, and the schedule for next week will be announced then. We'll figure it out. But thank you very much, Riggs, Trent, Robbie, Pete. Great story, Pete. Keep them coming. Start up at Twitter.
Fuck Carmel Ice Cream,
yeah,
Pete.
Great, great job. And follow @BarstoolDrive on Twitter, and we'll see you later.
Have fun at work.